Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ding 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 ding.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with
five sketch ideas.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair. George William Trombley Birchall. I haven't minimized my volume yet. Wait, I'm going to do that now. I was like, why is everything peaking a tremendous amount? And I got it now. I'm back down to input level of 32. And I tell you what, the waveforms are looking better.
Wow. It's great that you choose to do that after we've started recording.
Well, hey,
By the way, you're now a lot quieter in my ears.
Yeah, I would be.
I was commenting earlier on this great connection we had.
I know, but...
And how...
It's important for, you know, and maybe you're hearing me clearly now as I speak a little bit louder.
I've also turned up the volume on my end.
Oh, good.
God, this is the kind of like glimpse behind the,
yes.
not the curtain, but maybe the fly strips on the door of the fish and chip shoppery that is
the Two in the Think Tank podcast. As we fry up some sketch ideas for you. You know, give you the cheapest, but the most satisfying morsels of sketch comedy. The stuff that you don't have to sit around for too long. You don't even have to sit and actually watch. You can be doing chores. You can be doing things like you would when you're eating fish and chips.
You know what would be great? Would be a second mouth that goes in front of your mouth.
Yeah.
And this would be for when you're eating really hot things. This seems
like the worst. I was with you until you put it in front of the first mouth. Now it seems superfluous.
No, well, see, this is like this is like the alien xenomorphs in Alien.
Yeah.
Aliens, indeed. Right? This is so that when you want to eat something that you know it's too hot, but you can't wait to get it into your mouth.
Yeah.
So you're like, well, look, I'll just get it into my mouth and then I'll deal with the problems.
Yeah.
I know the problems will be much worse and much more immediate, but at least I'll be moving forward towards getting this food into my stomach, my ultimate goal. So you put the food in your mouth when it's very, very hot, and then you go as you try and breathe and cool it down in your mouth.
I was literally doing that as you messaged me before and said,
really?
Oh, the podcast, as he said, I'm ready. And I went, oh, I'm still like cooking dinner for everybody and things like that. But I just finished, really. And so then I started trying to put the food that was fresh out of the pan straight into my mouth. And as my wife looked at me and I felt like I'm being a real man right now. I'm doing a fucking idiot job.
Yeah, perfect.
She's like, bring a plate of food to the podcast. Am I going to bring a plate of food to the podcast?
If only there was still some way to... There was some way to get in and eat the food while it's still in the oven, because I'm sure it cools down a lot in that first removing it out into the atmosphere.
Now, Andy, this I could agree with. Now, okay.
Ah.
What if it had, if the oven had a first mouth, right? And it's a little mouth that's built into the door of the oven that is inside of the oven. And it's kind of got like it's protruding forward a little bit like a Homer Simpson mouth. Right.
Yeah. Great.
And its lips can reach out and grab the food like that, and you put your mouth up against that mouth, like that.
Up against the back of the mouth.
Up against the back of the mouth, and you can control it with your lips.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Much like Homer Simpson, really, in that opening credits when he has his hands in the gloves that go into the nuclear fuel container thing.
Yes.
Now this is the same thing, but for your mouth.
Yeah, and all the things like the lips, you know, they can work like that. The tongue, the oven's mouth tongue can have taste sensors that connect to your taste sensors, and they
it's getting too complicated. We're losing some of the
no, but it's so that you can
beautiful
still
simplicity of this idea.
No, but I'm just saying that I'm sure it's possible to transfer some of those signals down to the tongue, so that you can just for the first few breaths, you know,
yes,
as you're starting to chew it, not be at sort of, you know, oven temperature once it gets into your own mouth.
No, I agree, and I think that's ultimately what I was working towards. My idea of this extra mouth that goes in front of your mouth would be one that does do a lot of the breathing on the food for you, and then it essentially has a little anus.
Yeah,
at the back
poops
of the
it
mouth
into your
and
mouth
and shits the food into your mouth. But it hasn't digested it anyway. All it's done is cooled it down. But it does make a grunting sound when it shits the food into your mouth.
I mean,
it's just colder. That's the only change.
A sort of older,
there is
rural,
a straining grunting.
and it like shoots onto your tongue, kind of like, you know, like one of those those ketchup bottles that when they only come out if you squeeze them a certain amount, and then too much comes out.
Excellent.
I think it's like you have a turd of lasagna on your mouth. It's still just lasagna, but it is in turd shape.
I mean, in my version, it doesn't even change the shape. All it's done is cool it down. It hasn't chewed it in any way.
How is it going to go through a tube and not change shape?
I didn't say there was a tube.
You said there was an anus, Sandy.
There is an anus, but the anus might be very
flexible. Is this anus got no Y axis or no Z axis? Which axis doesn't it have, Andy?
Tell me. The listeners want to know.
The question's on everybody's tongue at the moment.
This is the... it's on their tongue. It's not on their lips.
No. I mean, this is earlier in the process. They don't want to know as much, but it's a more authentic version of the question that they want to hear. Now, also, I think a more rudimentary version of this this piece of technology would be just a kind of an oven mitt for your tongue, you know, an oven mitt for your for your mouth.
Very good.
That you probably like a nana would knit for you, but then it's something where
quilted.
You could eat something directly out of the oven, but you wouldn't actually end up tasting it except for the little bits that drip through the webbing of the knitted. Mouth glove. You know, and so then really it's really just a pure nutrition thing. Like it's a pure I just need to eat now. It's a more of a starvation based thing. You know, if you've gone through an actual famine and the food's in the oven and it's cooked enough that it's now edible, right? It's reached an internal temperature of whatever it is that they say that it should hit. Okay, then you could start eating it and then start swallowing it. Some of the cooling will happen, but it probably will burn your esophagus. But there might not be as many sensors back there to feel it.
There's no reason why you couldn't have some kind of little microwave, a thing that you put in the back of the throat.
Yeah.
That is it's a little ring, it's a little metallic ring that fires microwaves and cooks the food as it goes down your throat. Because you don't need the food to be cooked when it's in your mouth. If you're going to get the maximum nutrition, you just need it to be cooked by the time it gets to your stomach, I think.
Mm.
And so you could be cooking things. Basically the essential principle behind one of those pizza ovens where the pizzas are on a little... sort of train line and go through the or conveyor belt and they go through the pizza oven and cook as they pass through.
Yeah.
Food could be cooked in a similar way.
And this is for people who say want to eat like raw meat but are worried about the dangerous consequences. or people who love the flavor of a raw uncooked pizza dough and pizza ingredients.
Perfect.
But are worried about, you know, that their stomach somehow won't be able to handle. you know, all that extra digestion that's kind of done by the cooking process. They're worried about the extra workload for their tum-tum.
I'm going to open a restaurant, and it's going to be called Microwave Pizza.
Yeah.
And it's going to go really well.
Yeah.
It's going to go so well.
And it's just pizzas that you bought from Woolies. You got frozen pizzas from Woolies.
I don't know if the pizzas that I get from Woolies. I think they might be made, you know, to a very high standard by Italian pizza chefs. But I then take those and place them in a microwave and cook them in the microwave. And I think a big part of the experience is getting to witness the look of shame and disgust on the faces of these, I've flown these chefs directly from Italy, by the way.
So you've flown in chefs who would be offended by this process.
Yes. They're going to be
horrified. And they're making it? Like they're actually doing it?
They're making I'm the one putting them into the microwave. They prepare them. You know, they make the dough. They hand knead the dough. They sprinkle on the freshest, finest ingredients. Mm. Okay. It's whatever that special flour, 400 gradi flour or whatever it is that they use for the proper pizza.
400 degree flour.
Yeah, that's right. These are the world's best pizza chefs, right? Maybe they don't even know they're being placed into a microwave. Yeah, Maybe that's more beautiful in a way. They just put them through a slot. Yeah. And I take them and I slap them onto the tray of an LG microwave. I put it on high. I put them in for like 18 minutes. Yeah. I microwave the fuck out of these pizzas. So this is all happening on the other side of the wall. It feels like it's more of a work.
Andy, I feel there's a whole reality TV show that is just in, like, just capturing Italian people on film being insulted at what's happening to their thing. They're one of the few cultures you can still really insult. You know? Through actions that are actually not offensive.
But I think also, the chefs don't, if they don't know this is happening, they don't know that the pizzas are going into a microwave, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I even let the chefs place them into a proper wood-fired oven, right? But I have a secret door on the back of the oven where I whip the pizzas out as soon as they place them in there and I slip them into the microwave. And then, meanwhile, the diners are all sitting there, their stomachs gurgling with anticipation.
Yeah.
And their eyes filled with horror and perverse joy as they I've got one of those kitchens where you can see into the kitchen, so you can see the chefs working hard on the pizzas, and then there's a little divider, and then you can see me, right, in my stained track pants, microwaving the pizzas they produce and then slopping them down.
But you know what would be good
as
well?
So wet.
I think a big
slopping them down in front of the
customers. Oh, they would be wet, wouldn't they? Oh. But like, are you cooking them enough or
Yeah, they're cooked. They're cooked. Yeah. But I just don't think you like the whatever you way in which you want the dough to be cooked with radiant heat, I presume.
Yeah.
In an oven, that doesn't happen.
Sure. I mean, it would be a completely
different experience. One that you might be there might be a way to enjoy this.
I think,
but I don't know what it is.
I think I think it would be important to see the room of Italian chefs, and I think it would be also important to see the room before that, which is where there's other Italian chefs who are applying for the positions. and then you also see Italian chefs find out that their pizzas are being microwaved, and then you get to see them storm out.
Oh,
I think that would make the pizzas extra delicious.
Mamma mia. Yeah.
But I think that the wood fire oven, it's just a slot that mimics it.
Exactly.
And it really just goes to you, and then they do realize at some point when they have a really good look through there and you wave to them.
there's some of the chefs start to get suspicious and they try and look in there.
Yeah.
They try. They start. They become pizza truthers.
The problem with a lot of
conspiracy theory ripples through.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Because the problem with a lot of those like 400 degree ovens is that those Napoli whatever it is style pizzas that are made in those kind of 400 degree ovens, they only take like 90 seconds to cook.
They cook so quick.
So I worry that if you put them through an actual oven like that.
Right.
You know, you'll even just in the process of trying to transfer it from them to you, you're accidentally going to cook them properly.
Yeah. All right. So it'll be a hot, maybe it's a hologram, you know, whatever flames and stuff.
Maybe it could be like a wood fire oven painted onto the wall, sort of like a coyote style, Wile E. Coyote style.
We'll get one of those street artists.
Who does those
really realistic drawings on the ground?
Yeah,
3D things, and we'll get them. Some of the greatest geniuses
to make
of the art world
to make a microwave oven look like a.
Very good.
Like that, and then you make the door sort of seem like a big metallic door that you close.
I'm sure they could do that.
Yeah, you know
that's their art.
That's an amazing idea.
If they could somehow, with the power of their drawing, make it sound like it clangs shut with that hefty clang of a big cast iron oven door. I don't know if they can. I don't know how good these guys are. I mean, they're very good, but I don't know if they can.
Well, that's right. How good they are with chalk. Can you put enough chalk to add a clang sound?
That's the kind of illusion I'm hoping for.
Do you think it'd be good to like have your house done up in chalk like that? You know, have the walls of your house done up in sort of...
I think that's a really good idea. This is a sketch idea. You see one of those guys on the street and you get them to come home and you get them to draw another whole room on the wall of your living room. You're having people... You're very insecure about your status, your social status. You have you're inviting your boss and his new lover around for dinner, right? You work at a plastics extruding distributor, an extruded plastics distributor, and the boss is coming around. His new lover from Brazil is coming as well, and
lover.
And you're very insecure about your small house that you live in. You get one of those street artist guys to come around and draw a huge sort of ballroom on one of the walls of your studio apartment. And then you just have to keep coming up with reasons why they can't walk into the ballroom.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm sorry, the ballroom floor is being re-shellacked. It's being re-stumped. You can have all sorts of reasons that the floor particularly can't be walked on.
But then you have also, you are cooking all the dinners in the microwave, but you've had the chalk artist draw very much a whole kitchen there with chefs and stuff working away.
Hopefully they could be chalk chefs and they could make the pizza chalky enough that it looks like... You know, it looks like a fancy meal. You're just eating a sort of a micro, you know, a TV dinner kind of situation, a microwave thing, you know, a microwave chickpea curry or something like that, as you would probably have, I imagine. But he's made it look like you're having a big sort of meat dish with two chandeliers and...
The reality that we think we are living in is not really reality, but is in fact one of those hyper-realistic 3D chalk drawings done by a street artist of the gods. Maybe that's what reality is, right? Our reality.
Yeah.
Everything you see. Why does it have to be a simulation? Why can't it be a being who lives in a cosmos infinitely more complex and beyond our understanding, we could just be the equivalent of a chalk drawing outside a railway station on the ground in that reality, whatever their version of the ground is. Now, their ground, obviously, would be...
whatever their version of the ground is.
Well, their version of the ground would... So our version of the ground is a 2D surface onto which a 3D drawing can be created. Now, their version of the ground might be a 3D, right? For them, flat is curved, right?
That's right.
But onto that curve, this person has drawn... Maybe this is how time... What time is. Time is an extra dimension created by a drawing, an illusory drawing on the 3D ground, on the 3D, 2D surface in their 5D universe. That's all I'm saying.
Wow. I mean, so we're not actually going through time. We're just looking at a curve on a wall, right. On a 2D wall.
Mm. Yeah.
And
I mean, the only reason and this
the drawing this doesn't gives make any sense is
because it's
passing.
Beyond your comprehension.
No, I understand that. Andy, for me, it's as clear as day. You're talking to a chalk artist. Chalk artist. Andy, I don't know if you remember, I used to live under a flight path, and now I live again under another flight path.
Oh, yeah?
But on the other side of the world. You know?
Could be the same flight path.
I mean, it might be. You know. The thing is, I don't know. It could be a Melbourne to London flight. You know, that maybe I was going through. Or like Adelaide to London or something like that.
Adelaide to London. One of those the greatest routes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one it could be like important. Adelaide to Birmingham.
the new Silk Road. and what's that like? Are you hearing a lot of aeroplanes?
No, not really. But if I go outside, I do see a lot. The insulation here is so good in Canada that you never go into a house and are like, oh, I'm kind of cold.
Yeah.
I mean, part of that is also the heat. I miss being cold, Andy. I mean, although we did, like, we have now on two occasions gone outside with as the family to go walk to a thing, and the children and us have been so cold that we've made it a block and then we've had to turn back, and this is whilst everybody's wearing two pairs of pants and we put face masks on the kids and stuff like that. And
wow.
So, but you know, today it was just me and Hux that turned back because he was like, I'm so cold like that. I was like, alright, well, I guess back on screens.
Was he doing a Japanese accent?
No, he wasn't. He does do that sometimes, but not that time. He reenacts, like, really inappropriate times in history. Full, like, attacks on sort of harbors that, you know, might
be,
you know, that were really important ones during, you know, significant ones during the part of the Second World War. But
sure. But I'm not going to... I don't want to protect the identity of the harbor. Yeah, I don't want to name the harbor.
In honor of the harbor. Is Pearl Harbor still around? Not that that's what we were talking about. But does... Can I still go to Pearl Harbor now and kind of get a pearl or
could
whatever?
Could I still attack Pearl Harbor today if I wanted to?
Today? You know?
We've lost our way as a society. Nobody attacks any Pearl Harbor.
You're not allowed to attack anything anymore.
Everyone's so defensive. Yeah. Alistair, would you be interested in going to a restaurant where on every table there's a large bird that regurgitates food into your mouth?
Oh.
Because that is a form of cooking.
Yeah. Right? I mean, it's a
having
form
it partially digested by a bird.
That's true.
It could be the missing, the great lost cooking technique.
Well, I guess if it was in a restaurant form, then a chef would have found a way to make that delicious.
Exactly. So, exactly. It's not going to be bad.
Yeah, if it comes out of the stomach and it's super acidic and stuff like that, well, he would have made it, or she, super basic first, or whatever, found a way to complement those notes of stomach acids. With something else.
These people are professionals.
I mean, we are professionals after all. So, yeah, you know what, Andy? Yes, I would. I would have. Yeah, I mean, great. Is there a chance that when the bird is vomiting into your mouth,
that he bites you with his big sharp beak. He bites your lip and stuff like that.
Oh, it depends. Do you like that?
No.
Would you like that to happen?
I mean, I don't know.
No. Okay, well then no. No, I would make sure that that doesn't occur. Okay, what about this as an option then? How would you feel if you go into a restaurant and the chef themselves chews it up and regurgitates it into your mouth?
Mm.
Feel better or
worse? Also, it's kind of like one of those teppanyaki places.
Yeah.
Where they kind of cook things in front of you. But instead, he eats stuff and then burps it up.
Mm.
Burps it up somehow it seems worse, even though it's actually much worse than burps.
He's the chef. He or she is the chef, right? And so presumably they, as the chef, they know how food is supposed to be.
It's probably a team. They are the chefs. Right?
They are the chef. They know how food is supposed to be chewed much better than you do as a mere customer, as a mere layperson.
Well, that's right. We are just eating at a sort of like an uneducated level.
A lot of us are just chewing as our ancestors did. It's crazy that cooking and all that sort of stuff is progressing, and yet we're still chewing and masticating and swallowing with this rudimentary apparatus. Right.
These chefs are probably like black belt chewers. You know, we're chewing at the first grade level. We haven't chewed. We haven't learned. You know, like my drawing hasn't improved since I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know?
Judo.
Hey? Judo.
Judo. Chujitsu.
That's right. Chujitsu and judo. And charate. Churate.
And karate?
Chuxing.
Nah.
And chumo.
Anyway, consumo wrestling. No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. There's no right answer.
No, there is no right, and there's no wrong answers.
I think they're all wrong answers.
They're all wrong
answers.
I
think the question was wrong.
Well, you know, I mean, that's something that you have to deal with, Andy, because I don't contribute anything. So, what about it feels like, you know, they invented a new thing when they had cowboys in the Wild West. You know, who would have thought, it's so strange that something like that can be, a small period in history can become a whole format. You know, and like, why, what about this? Okay, there was a period in time when mobile phones had cameras. But mobile technology wasn't so good that you could send each other photos. So there was a point in time where I was able to take a dick pic, but in order to show people, I would have to just go and show them on my phone.
Which you might as well, at that point, you might as well just show them your penis.
I know, but it's not the same. It's not the same. One is an offense. One is a crime. The other one is just looking at a picture. The other one is just looking at my penis.
Right.
Did I ever tell you that there was a weird period when I was living in Canberra where we would get drunk and high and things like that? And then me and one of my housemates would go for a walk, like relatively far down some footpaths and stuff like that, like sometimes through a kind of like, you know, like a bike pathy kind of area, a little bit less residential. And then we would get to some end point, take off all our clothes, and then walk back in the nude.
Alistair, on one level, I feel like you've told me this before. But on another level, I feel like I'm hearing this for the first time. And, you know, I feel, you know, in Madonna's words, like a virgin, told this anecdote for the very first time.
One time, my friend's girlfriend even came with us, and then she just carried our clothes. She didn't get dressed.
I mean,
she didn't get undressed. It was just me and my friend.
Did she comment on the situation?
I mean, I'm sure there were comments.
And how did this first happen? And the first time it happened, and be honest,
yeah,
was there an erotic thrill?
I mean, not erotic between us. It was...
Right.
I think it was just
between you and the world.
Yeah. It was just more of a like, oh, we're doing something that feels like it's wrong, but there's also nobody around. I mean, we never at any point did it, I don't think, and then encountered people.
Wow.
So it was just a quiet, sort of near Belconnen kind of suburb. And and we just were walking through, you know, what was probably a, you know, like a just a kind of a, you know, a bike path past some parks and a primary school and things like that. But in the middle of the night. And then eventually a residential street where we lived.
And so you walked up your own residential street?
I can't remember where exactly we put on the clothes. I think at least once we probably would have gone the whole way.
I mean, it's really weird, Alistair. I mean, it's great and I'm really happy for you that you did this.
Yeah.
And
I mean, do you support me, Andy? Do you condone my actions?
I think so, but I'm also thinking about, well, what would it be like if I had been somebody else who,
sure,
by themselves, say, was walking along the street and had turned a corner and seen two naked men walking towards me.
I mean, naked sort of 23-year-olds, maybe 22-year-olds. Mm. It's not...
So not men. They're not men.
Not really men. I think that you become a man when you get your first man boob.
Yeah, sure.
Because they're not called boy breasts.
Mm. Boybies.
Boybies?
Boysums.
Boysums?
Boysums.
Mm.
Alistair, I do support you.
Thank you so much, Andy. It was so great because you didn't need to at all. But I'm so glad that you're willing.
It's just such a, it's a very profound, I don't want to say confronting, because I don't mean confronting in the way of like being confronted with the reality of a naked person.
Yeah.
But I think I'm being confronted with the reality of the decision making process that got you to that point.
But, I mean, think about it. It's not that many decisions. It's like, wouldn't it be fun or weird or funny, that kind of thing, if we just walked home naked, you know? And then you kind of go, yeah, let's do it, like that. And then you do it. And there's only two people there, so there's not that many people to convince, right?
But I think on another level as well.
Yeah,
I feel, you know, personally
jealous that you didn't do it yourself.
We're quite close. Well, we're quite close, you and I.
And so you're jealous.
And you and I have both, you know, had some drinks and gone for a long walk down in the night. And you never asked me to take off all my clothes and walk home naked.
I'm really sorry, Andy.
And I wonder then if there's just a, if there's something, is it me?
No, Andy. Was I not hot enough? Is that what it was? Well, Andy, how about this? Okay, we'll work our way up to it. Because I feel like you wouldn't walk all the way home from a, like, you know, in some public place at nighttime. In a city, let's say Melbourne is a little bit more populated and a few more people walk around late at night. On the bike path that we were walking around at on?
There's a deeper thing that I would be more concerned about, Alistair, rather than you not wanting to walk home naked with me, is that, like, maybe by moving in my circles and being my friend, if I can use that word, I'm sorry, I hope that's not too forward.
It's very forward after however many years.
that there's something about me that's stopping you from being your true self, right? Actually I'm holding you back, right? And this might be emblematic of some deeper things that are going on and ways in which I'm
stopping
you
from realizing. So
you
think that maybe more of my life would be walking home naked?
And that's what I'm saying,
And that this is not a thing that should have ever died. this is a thing that could live on. It could be the midnight walk or the 2 a.m. walk every day would be a thing. Like, everybody would know that. It actually would be a safe way to get home at night. Is that you strip, you strip down your clothes, and it's like a group of people with whom you can walk, be vulnerable, but also actually it's the numbers that makes everything safe.
Sure, sure. And now it's other people who should be worried about you.
If anything,
Alistair.
Yeah, so now we've created a way in which is the safest way to get home, you know. And then it also removes any of those arguments of like, well, what were you wearing at nighttime, you know, if you got attacked? Because suddenly, well, the answer is, well, nothing at all. And that is the safest way to get home deep into the night. It's called the...
We could be right.
It's the nude posse. The nude posse home. You know, and then we could walk around and we could find people who are attacking people and beat them up with our, you know, with our nude bodies. It's the nude vigilante group.
Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? Yes.
Well, that's what it would obviously end up as. Because people would believe in the concept so strongly.
Are there any superheroes who are naked? Who's, I guess there's that Manhattan, that blue guy, but he's really wearing a suit of blue. Being a blue man, he just doesn't look like a normal man. But like, I wonder if you could conceal your identity, right, by taking off all your clothes in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Superman takes off his glasses to become Superman. But I wonder if he would be even less identifiable if he took off all his clothes completely.
That's true. Took off his glasses. I mean, he's still a little bit identifiable.
What about this? It's Superman, but instead of taking off his glasses, instead of Clark Kent taking off his glasses to become Superman, he takes off his pants. So he's just naked from the waist down.
Who's
and that's the way he conceals his identity is by exposing his genitals.
Yeah.
And everyone's so confronted by that, they never really look at his face or take in his facial features. He's flying over the city in a suit, you know, his normal suit top and shirt. Glasses still on, but penis dangling in the wind, whipping,
flapping in the wind.
Through the cloud, flapping, yes.
Absolutely, sort of like frippling.
Yes, he's completely unrecognizable.
Nobody.
I think it's arguable
that
taking off his pants would be a better disguise than taking off his glasses for Superman.
No, I agree with you entirely, Andy. It's almost exactly the same. And probably it's removing way more recognizable parts in terms of surface area, at least.
You know how people have those recognizable pants?
Well, I mean, it's
one of his features. He had beautiful hazel brown pants.
Yeah, I pictured his pants being hazel. And when you're talking about this, are you picturing the Christopher Reeve Superman?
I think so.
I have been the whole time.
That's what I'm picturing. Oh, that's nice.
Isn't it amazing that they found a guy who kind of looked a bit like him, you know, in Henry Cavill? And that is a big part of why he became Superman? Or do you think that...
Do you think that
Christopher Reeves and Henry Cavill both kind of look like the comic book Superman a little bit?
I think that might be it, yeah.
Yeah, right.
But I wonder... I thought you were going to say, isn't it amazing that they found another guy whose surname was Reeve? Wasn't there a guy called Reeve who played him on TV, and then they got... George Reeve, I think, played him on TV, and then they got Christopher Reeves to play him in the movies. It's like when they, was it Bewitched? Yeah. They replaced Dick Sargent with Dick something else.
See, just I don't know any about this, but dicks. I mean, if they went from Reeve to Reeves, shouldn't they then have gone to Reeves's?
Or Reevesist?
Or Reevesist?
Yeah, Reeves's. Reeves's. I wonder if there's anybody whose surname is Reeves's.
I mean, that would be...
We could find them.
And then if you can only find one...
They would look so much like Superman.
Reeves's. Oh, wait. It's R-E-E?
Yep.
Yeah, let's see. Oh, there's a Reeves. Oh, Keanu Reeves. Is he related to Christopher Reeves? I never thought about that. Did you know he was born in Beirut, Lebanon?
What?
Christopher Reeves was born in Beirut, Lebanon. But he's Canadian.
yeah, that's amazing. But Alistair, how many sketch ideas have we written down?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Andy, and you are going to be very happy with the quality.
I think I am, actually. I feel great about
great,
today.
Great. Well, then we should just go to three words from a listener.
We've had a lot of new restaurant ideas, which is very big for us.
It's new restaurant?
Very much part of our oeuvre.
Oh, it's a very important part of the Twin Think Tank, you know, body of work.
Mm.
The two in the think tank.
My body of work is naked from the waist down.
That's right. My body of work is walking home tonight.
Mm.
And uncovered. What do you think are the clothes of our sketches?
Imagine if your body of work actually...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He had a real body. Forget it.
What do you think would be the dick of your work?
What word's really good?
Hey?
It's a great question.
What would be the dick of your work if your body of work was a real body?
It was a real body. Which bit of your
you
work?
See, this
would
is
be
why we
dick?
Need to be interviewing celebrities, Andy.
What is the mouth of the leg? Right. Now.
All right.
More importantly,
the head of the face.
Mm.
Andy, today we got three words from a listener called Martin Hanel. Martin Hanel.
Martin Hanel.
All the way from Europe.
Mm. all the way from the great continent of Europe.
Europe.
And yes.
So, and you know what? Martin has sent us in three words today. And you know what? Not a ton of those words. I mean, look, I don't want to give you any hints. So I won't give you any hints. And so he sent in three words. Do you want to try to guess what the first one is?
Yes, the first word is brown.
Oh, close. Because I imagine it's a color that represents a large part of this word's landmass. Canada.
Canada. Ah, the wide brown land of Canada.
What's the second word, Andy?
Oh, wow, okay. Canada. Alistair. The second word is Alistair.
Oh, you might have got... you got two letters correct. The second word is eats.
Canada eats.
Yes, Canada eats. You can do
Greenland.
This, Andy. Oh, God. Andy, it was close in that you chose a country. But
okay.
The third word is Australia. Or as you would know
Canada
it,
eats Australia.
Australia.
Now, Greenland is not actually a country.
Oh,
I've got to
what?
Point that out.
What?
Greenland is
well,
part of
Well, by the
Norway,
time the podcast goes out, Andy, it may be.
It may have achieved independence.
Yeah.
Okay. Canada
eats
Australia.
And now just let me know that backwards it's stay, STAE. That doesn't help. And Australia backwards is Neilatsua. And Canada is Adanak.
Adanak. Adanak, that one works. That sounds nice.
Adanak, it sounds...
I mean, obviously, if Canada were to eat Australia, first they would drizzle it with melted cheese.
What about melted maple syrup?
Oh,
why do you think cheese? Finally. Why do you think with cheese?
Because poutine, isn't that what poutine has?
Well, melted cheese? It's not a melted cheese. It's a cheese curd that then melts due to the hotness of the other food that it is on.
Alistair, I apologize for my ignorance of your culture.
That's okay. The cost of living crisis has very much arrived in Canada. And so when I bought a bag of cheese curds here, something that was obviously a food that was chosen for poutine because it was a very cheap thing at the time. And I bought a tiny bag of cheese curds for almost $8. And I realized, oh, things are fucking... are not okay over here in Canada land.
Cost of living, eh?
Yeah, housing is cheaper here, but the supermarket's food is way more expensive. Also, though, I discovered a good new apple
that has
apple. Cortland. Have you ever had a Cortland?
Never even heard of the Cortland apple. What are we talking? A nice thin red skin?
It's a pretty dark red skin. Really? But there's a real perfuminess, a real floweriness to the flavor in there. You know? It's not as sharp.
Obviously, you mean W-E-R, not O-U-R, because that's one of the worst things you can say about an apple is that it's flowery, F-L-O-U-R.
That's right. I am, of course, I'm not discussing... It's texture. It is crisp. It is delicious. It is it's a juicy.
Do you think that in the apple world, flowery would be one of the most hateful things you can say? Do you think like if apples had
I would consider a flowery would be a slur.
Apple slur.
That actually sounds like something that you would use to make apple juice. Or cider. Apple slur. All right, Andy.
Now, if Canada eats Australia. Now, if Canada were to eat Australia, do you think it would go up over the top of the earth, cross the North Pole, and come back around the other side? No, I don't think there would be room for it to get back down again. I'm trying to think of how it could get to Australia.
I would probably have to, I would say, go west for a little bit. Let's say a really hungry Canada would go west and then take a left turn. And I reckon
down through the Pacific,
you know, it would probably knock out a few island countries. I'm not saying that it would eat them, but it would definitely push them out of the way. Send them
on its way South to America.
Yeah. South America words. But I think if you're a big country and you got a big appetite, then probably Australia is not the bad place to go.
Do you think that we could maybe open a restaurant that is a Australia-Canada fusion cuisine?
I love that idea, Andy. Mm. A meat pie poutine.
Yes.
A sausage...
A meat pie poutine floater.
A sausage sizzle tourtière.
Oh, what's that one? What's
tourtière? It's just like it's a type of meat pie, but it doesn't have like a kind of gravy in it that would make a pie super delicious. It's kind of more of a loose meat pie.
Oh.
Not always just beef, but you know, but it is spiced and maybe has a little bit of potato in there, but it's a classic and I do love it.
Loose meat.
Yeah, loose meat. You know, it's not a kind of like a caged meat like we have in Australia where it's caged in sauce and deliciousness.
It does feel like, you know, because when it's the classic fusion cuisines, right? It feels like it's a disco, right? It's a blue light disco, right? And everybody's mingling and all the hot people have already paired up. And they've already asked each other to dance, and they're probably already making out on the dance
floor. So we're talking about French and Thai cuisine, and we're talking about gastronomic science kind of stuff, and maybe Chinese or something like that.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I don't actually know many fusion cuisines, but those both sound like great examples. But meanwhile, Australian cuisine and Canada cuisine are hanging around the walls there. They haven't paired up with anybody. Nobody's asked them. So eventually we're going to end up together, right? Because nobody else wants to go with us. And I think we should just get things over and done with, muck in together, and just try and make the most of it.
Yeah.
To be honest. See what we can, you know.
I mean, I guess that's what me and my beloved know the best is Australian and Canadian cuisines. If we really need to be able to survive in this continent here, we need to give them something that they don't have here. Mm. But then also something familiar enough that they would reach for it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot of ideas for this one.
Well, with Canada Eats Australia, we don't have to go straight. I mean, I think even just the idea of a whole country, the whole people of a country, eating the people of another country, they decide.
Oh, yes.
You know? I guess it's kind of like a war, but at the end, there's nobody left from the losing country. You know,
you know what? That does sound kind of cool.
You don't send them with any supplies.
What about a teeth war? Right? I mean, this feels one, like two, kind three, of what, like, four. Animals would have done.
I declare a teeth war.
Wow. I mean, that's really full on.
Mm.
Right? It's just teeth on teeth.
Yeah, that's rough.
That would be so confronting to watch.
Yeah.
Like a form of MMA where it's all teeth. You're only allowed to use your teeth, and you're only allowed to use your teeth to attack their teeth.
So you can't even attack their flesh. You have to eat their teeth.
You got to smash your teeth against their teeth.
What if they have a gun?
I think so. It's kind of like Conkers.
Okay,
but with teeth.
So this is a martial art, a teeth martial art.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, teeth Karate. Martial arts slash war. I mean, it does feel a bit more like dog fighting, because then it's like, it really is like, if you lose, then you lose, like you don't have your teeth anymore. Like your dog loses, you've got a dead dog now.
Yeah. Same with your teeth.
Same with your teeth, you've got a dead tooth.
You've got, your teeth are all dead.
You're all dead. And then you got a big dentistry bill. Andy, should we wrap this up?
Yes.
All right. Well, let me take you through the sketch idea list. We got...
I'm still feeling really good about this, by
Andy,
the way.
Andy, me too. We got oven... Wait. Oh, oven mouth or... Oven mouth or tongue oven mitt.
Really good.
Yeah. We got microwave pizza restaurant. And then there's an under... There's a possible level here where this could also be a reality TV show where Italian people are being... People are... Can you hear people singing happy birthday in my house?
Yeah, I can hear something like that, yeah. Are you missing a birthday
for this? I don't
know.
I don't think that there's any birthdays happening. Any of my family members ever having a birthday. But anyway, then we have hyper-realistic 3D street artist... chalk drawing successful reality, you know, for you. They're making your reality look super successful.
It's really good.
We have the bird vomit restaurant, which is a great new idea. I guess the trick is really just finding a big enough bird and a bird that's comfortable enough with humans that they could be burping into people's mouths 24, like, you know, like at least for an 8-hour shift.
Yeah, I think it could be a chicken. Could be a type of chicken.
You think it could be a chicken? I was thinking more. I was picturing a pelican. Not a pelican. I was picturing a flamingo, mostly.
Oh, yeah. You know? Beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. You love flamingos?
And they're an amazing bird. I find their beak a bit unsettling.
Their beak is unsettling. You're right. They actually do look really evil the closer you look at them. Then there is the nude posse, the safest way home. Then we have Clark Kent, but he takes off his pants. And then we have the teeth martial art slash war. Andy, it was a good episode.
It was a good episode. We did it.
So I guess we'll go into the song now.
Okay.
Singing.
Thank you so much for listening to In the Think Tank. It's a community service.
I mean, you know,
it's a much needed community service.
It's almost like one of these things where we've been doing this for so long, people don't even feel like they need new episodes, I imagine. It's almost a luxury. It's almost a, you know, it's just nice knowing that they're still doing it. That's us. That's from their minds.
Yes. Us is them in that.
That's right. Sentence. Us is them. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We love you a tremendous amount.
You got any gigs to plug, Alistair? You want to plug any gigs?
I mean, I will be
Canada?
At the Comedy Nest again. Not this coming weekend. But the weekend of the... I'll be there Thursday, the 29th of February. The 1st and the 2nd of, you know, of March. And so if you're in Montreal... Come and see. We have had people come. I know I've mentioned this already.
So good.
We had one guy who came, and he was a big Do Go On listener, Adam, and he didn't know I was going to be there because he's just listens, you know. Anyway, and he's like heard my name and he went, "What?" Like, because he's heard me over the years and that thing, and he was a little bit shocked. I think he was a little bit aghast, is what he suggested.
Yeah.
2024
are those dates. Yeah. That's the year. In
which 2024. That's right. And then also my wife was out with us because we had people watch. We had nieces watching our thing, and so then she saw me talking to him, and then later on went outside, and she saw him with his group of friends, and then she was like a little bit. She had a few drinks, and then she was like, "Hey, you guys!" And she started talking to them, and then went out somewhere with them, and was like out with them for hours.
That's a full service, yeah, right there. You know, we don't just make podcasts and perform stand-up comedy gigs. Our beloveds will hang out with you after the gigs.
It's a big thing that we offer. And so if you follow us, our wives will follow you.
To a pub.
Yeah.
I would like to plug... Nobody's still listening at this point, but I would like to plug... we have an online shop now for Gustav and Henry.
Oh my gosh!
Volume 1 and 2. It's run now. We've taken control. Everything's completely in house.
Oh my gosh!
If you order, the link is in the show notes. You can go there. You can order Gustav and Henry. We will mail you out a copy at a very reasonable price.
Oh my gosh!
You know, there's a deal if you get both volumes at the same time.
Do you have the Spanish ones as well, or do you just have the English?
We do not have them. We do not.
So
have them
so only English speakers only.
That's right. Sorry about that.
Si esta hablas español, no porchase el Gustave en Enrique.
That's correct.
Thank you very much. Merci beaucoup. Have a great week. We love
you.
Bye.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a hacer tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow,
and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.